You don't like Leonard Cohen?
I don't know this song. I like it though.
Everybody
like his
knows.
Lazy voice, man. You know, he's like, he sounds like he's just sitting back in the chair with the microphone dropped down. He's making stuff up as he goes. I like that.
He's an interesting guy. Great songwriter. This is about as good as he gets vocally. But famous guy, Leonard Cohen. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's exactly what this song is describing. We're talking about the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight, or lack thereof. Now, I don't know if people watch. I watched it live. I was in North Carolina. I said I wouldn't watch it, but I went to dinner with my son and his girlfriend and our parents. It was an early night, so I was already back at my hotel. So I turned it on. I have Netflix. I was free. I was like, okay, I'll watch. I'm a big Tyson fan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Fort Greene. How could I not root for him? My high school neighborhood. And it's like, you know, and I saw Tyson come in. I got it. He was 58 years old. He was in amazing shape walking in, though. For a 58-year-old man, he looked fantastic, and he's still Mike Tyson. So despite, he's not Mike Tyson at, 28 years old. But he's still, nobody I know would want to fight him now. I don't care who you are.
He destroyed a 50 and over division.
Yeah. But the point, that was, to me, I watched the fight. And live, I'm going, something's going on here, man. Something's really bad. It just doesn't look right. Hardly any punches thrown. He didn't connect with anything. And keep in mind, these are two-minute rounds. So you talk about amateur rounds, 8 2-minute rounds, 14-ounce gloves, heavier than usual. So I got that. I was like, okay. So they worry about safety or conditioning or whatever. So they cut back to amateur, length rounds, heavier gloves. And I watch this didn't sit right with me. And then Paul gets a decision. I'm like, that guy... He's made a career out of fighting nobody. He's fighting, mixed martial artists. There's nothing. Hey, look, those guys are tough, tough men, and they're very talented. I'm talking about MMA fighters. However, a lot of them aren't really good strikers. The Conor McGregors of the world and guys like that, they're a little different because they're just, that's part of their game. They do a lot of stand-up. They're very good at it. But think about this. So they train in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, Muay Thai, judo sometimes, all kinds of different disciplines to become complete fighters for the UFC. Boxers just box, and there's a lot to know. It's not what people think. You're not talking about punching people. That's why it's called the sweet science. There's a lot to know. So he's fought a bunch of nobodies. He's fought mixed martial artists. The one fighter he fights is a real boxer, just kicked his ass. And I just wonder if he faced somebody. And I always bring up somebody like Canelo Alvarez who said he wants to fight him. Canelo would destroy him in about half of the first round. And he probably got 40 pounds on Canelo. I put my money on him. I put my house on Canelo. I watched this fight. I'm like, this is not right. And then Netflix is getting sued, by the way, just for the broadcast. Not for the fix.
Why?
Because it was so bad. What I complain about watching NFL Thursday night games when my feed is always stopped, the Netflix feed was stopped. It kept stopping and spinning, and it was you couldn't watch. I had to watch it on my phone.
And for those of you that wonder, well, it's not pay-per-view. Everything's pay-per-view with Netflix. You pay for Netflix. You pay for Netflix.
Yeah,
so
of course.
You can sue them. It's not free. Yeah. It's not NBC. It's not CBS.
Yeah. So they are getting sued for that. But then I started watching because people were talking that night, and Joe and I were talking in the producer's studio.
I thought they sued him for having Rosie Perez on the telecast.
I don't know what that was.
That was worth suing about.
It was just so ridiculous.
That was worth being sued.
But there's a thing we're going to post, just a little, tiny little snippet from the fight.
It's up right now, actually. I just posted it.
Thank you. There's an obvious pull on Tyson's part. Paul drops his left hand so badly. I can't believe a professional boxer would actually do this. It doesn't like his hand was down a little bit around his pecs. He drops his hand to his side, leaving him vulnerable to Tyson's right. Tyson sees it, and by instinct, he launches a right hand right at his jaw. And then he goes like
pulls
that.
Away, yeah.
He didn't hit him lightly. He didn't hit him at all.
He missed.
He throws the right and pulls away and doesn't even punch him. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, he would have, no doubt in my mind, put him on the canvas with that punch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be, if he would have knocked him out. I don't know how much power Tyson has left in his hands, but he certainly would have floored him with that. He pulls it. I think he would have hurt him. And he doesn't connect. I'm like, to me, that was all I had to say. It's like, you got to be kidding me. That Mike Tyson, youngest heavyweight champion in the history of boxing. He didn't throw that punch?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. And to me, this is disgraceful because, and how, like we had a call of, Jeremy was here, it was 2 days ago, I guess. Talking about Jake Paul is good for boxing because he's making it interesting. Like, he's disgracing the sport, in my opinion, because that this is now.
He's making it popular. Popular doesn't mean good.
But I don't know how he's making it popular. Because people, if you're a fan,
people
like,
who aren't coming, people who don't normally watch boxing are now watching.
Yes,
boxing.
I think that's what it
but
is.
But popular doesn't mean good.
No.
Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's quality.
Yes.
Quantity doesn't always mean quality.
You know who one of my heroes is? It's one of the most unpopular fighters in history, Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston.
That's a bad man. That's like, he was good. He was good.
Kind of, this is, you talk about the biggest sports throws, the fixes, different element, but like the 72 Olympics between the Soviets and the Team USA, where the game was restarted three times. Did you know that?
No.
The final, I think 4 seconds of that game was restarted four times because the ending wasn't what the Soviets wanted. Team USA ended up losing in the final seconds, but in the silver medal, but it was literally restarted.
What sport did you play? Hockey?
No, basketball.
Basketball.
Basketball. It was, yeah. It was restarted, I think, four times. Three or four times. Yeah. No, here it is. The final 3 seconds of the game was replayed three times under questionable rule interpretations, leading to the ultimate victory of the Soviet team. So, Team USA thought they won three times. No, rule interpretations. Restart the last 3 seconds. Until finally, Soviet Union get the ending that they wanted.
Yeah.
This is a little bit different, but that's like one of the biggest sports throws that I can recall.
Well, the ones I always go to are Ollie Liston.
Yeah.
That's one that's always been questioned throughout history because you got to remember, this is Sonny Liston, just, and actually Ollie was Cassius Clay at the time for the first one, 1964. Liston just demolished Floyd Patterson. First round knockout. First round. Meets Floyd Patterson again. First round knockout. And I'm not saying Floyd Patterson was Muhammad Ali, but he was one of the most intimidating fighters in the world. You think of somebody like a Mike Tyson, but bigger.
Right.
You know, knock you out with a jab. Incredible thunder in his right hand. Not very popular with anybody. With anybody. I mean, you know, he had such a, he served time for, you know, I think manslaughter. He was just, you know, he had a very checkered past. Wasn't popular. Wasn't even popular with the civil rights movement. They didn't want to embrace him.
Wow.
And he's still one of my favorite athletes of all time. I think he's just a really intriguing character. And you watch that second fight, like, come on, man. You know, with the phantom punch. Like, people know what I'm talking about, I'm assuming. The one that's the famous one with Ali standing over him with the hand that
yeah.
he bought me that at an auction. I have to have that. It was one of my iconic photos. Like the punch doesn't even seem to land, and Sonny Liston is lying on his back like he's, you know, completely out of it. I'm like, I don't know about this.
But on that, Ali said, get up, get up. Like he didn't.
He didn't believe it.
Yeah. I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't either. I think, no.
Liston got paid.
I think Liston got paid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was very mobbed up. It was kind of well known. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. And it happened, the Black Sox scandal, 1919.
They need to make this more popular. I mean, they need to make this more headlines, man. They need to bring more attention to this so this sham can stop. This guy's a sham artist, man.
It's nonsense. It's just, and it's
but people will defend him.
People do defend. We had a caller defend him the other day. I'm like, come on.
Even after this, they'll defend him.
Yeah. But this, to me, I urge you to watch it. Just check it out on our website. Just watch it. Do tell me what you think. You think Mike Tyson would actually pull that punch in a real fight?
No.
Nah. I'm sorry. This really bothers me a lot.
Thanks a lot, Ed Norris. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Pat Ricard called the Chargers the L.A. Ravens. Jim Harbaugh says they purposely modeled themselves after the Ravens. Are the Ravens really looking at themselves in the mirror on Monday? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Personally, I joke around and say that they're the L.A. Ravens just because they have so many coaches, personnel, players. Most importantly, they have, you know, Harbaugh's brother over there. And, you know, they're similar coaches, so they need similar players, similar guys. So it makes sense that they're using a lot of people that have been here.
Down throughout the roster, it's kind of what we're driving for, you know. when we watch the Ravens or watch our team, we hope to be looking in the mirror. That's how much respect we have for the Baltimore Ravens.
That's Pat Ricard, then Jim Harbaugh. They're all a lot of familiarities when you look at that Los Angeles Chargers team, from the offensive coordinator, running backs, plural. Lots of even the philosophy of what this offense was before, you know, they kind of changed it under new offensive coordinator Tom Monken. I see a lot of similarities over there. And apparently, according to Jim Harbaugh, Ed, it's by design.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, they are related. Yeah, they have to. I mean, I'm sure they still, I mean, they've probably talked as they were children about this stuff. So if you have the same philosophy and the same kind of tendencies, it doesn't surprise me a whole lot. You know what does surprise me? That John's the older brother.
Because Jim seems like he is.
He just looks older. Or yeah. He seems older, yeah.
Carries himself with the glasses.
And the khakis.
I see, you beat the band up by the khakis.
I wouldn't beat him about the khakis, but they're so high. Like he reaches over his shoulder to get his wallet. Like, he's just ridiculous. High pockets. Anyway.
You don't like khakis, do you?
No.
I didn't think you did. I'm not a fan of them. Under Armour makes a khaki pant.
That's different. I wear those types. The stretch ones, yeah.
Yeah, I like those.
Khaki and color. They look like really stretch.
I don't want to go to Walmart and get khakis. You know? Target.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. If you're buying, you know, $12 khakis.
Stop.
I'm sorry.
Stop. We got listeners who go to Walmart to buy khakis.
They just, design. Really? We work with one.
He doesn't buy his khakis at Walmart.
He don't buy khakis. He don't have pants.
Really?
Have you met, I don't want to pick up, he's not here. Have you met any grown man who had so little interest in his apparel?
No.
No.
I don't think I have.
I mean, I love him to death, and that's one of the things, it's endearing about him, but he couldn't give a rat's ass what he throws on.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You're right. Okay.
Makes fun of everything we wear.
Now, looking back at the Chargers, how much do they scare you this Monday?
A lot.
Why? Because they look so much like us?
No, I just think, I know what I see with the Ravens. They're not doing very well defensively, let's just put it mildly. You can pass on them. And there's a couple of reasons. One, I'll give you my list. The first one is, I really believe Jim Harbaugh is a very good coach. I think he's a good coach, and he's got a reputation as being a quarterback whisperer, if you want to go with that silly term. He played quarterback in the NFL. He's a turnaround kind of guy. I mean, what he seems to do is he walks into teams and organizations that are not doing well and basically turns them around. He's very good at that. He's done it everywhere he's gone. Mm-hmm. And I think Justin Herbert's not having, he's having a good season. But I think, and a lot of people have thought, that's a guy with incredible natural talent that it's never really fulfilled his potential. Watching him play this year, I'm like, oof. That boy can play. Like, he can throw. He's throwing some frozen ropes this year I haven't seen him do before. Mm-hmm. He can run. So I think he's much improved. So they've got a good offense. They have the number one defense in the NFL. So if you have a really good offense with a quarterback with a big arm who can run and can get away, mm-hmm. that's a problem for this defense. And then you combine that with the fact that, you know, they're a very good defense. Granted, we have the best offense in the league. But who knows how they're going to, you know, are they going to score 32 points, 35 points against this defense? No one really has.
They like the Steelers.
They're giving up like 14 points a game. So, you know, they're really good defense, and they're home. And it's a long distance. You're flying cross country. Granted, it's Monday night, you get an extra night. But it's like, I don't know. I'm very worried about this game. And this is one I thought was going to be a problem beginning of the season. Now I'm more concerned, honestly.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm concerned in general because I'm starting to see maybe some cracks in the armor of the Baltimore Ravens. And it concerns me. I'm starting to see some cracks there. Not so much in the foundation as much as just what we see right now. The offense, the fact that it has some issues against one of the top defenses. Now, do I think they were supposed to put up 30 points against Pittsburgh? No, because I had it as a low-scoring game.
Right, you did.
But they should have get low mid-20s against them. Yeah. Now, you can say, well, they missed two field goals, Rob, but they missed two field goals. That's part of the cracks in the armor. that's part of the cracks.
It is. It's a big part of their game.
So, you know, I'm a little worried about them right now because I want to see that complete game. You can lose a game and still play a complete game. You just lost a game against a better opponent.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play a complete game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've seen that too many times.
Not at all. No, I mean, but so many things went wrong against the Steelers.
So I'm worried, not so much because I'm worried about the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried overall about the Ravens.
Yeah, and I'm worried about the matchup because exactly what you're saying, though. It's like I see the Chargers as a really good team with a great defense and I think a good coach, really good coach, against the Ravens team that's got some holes. I mean, the fact that Tucker's a big problem. I mean, this is, and look, we owe him a lot. I'm not just throwing him under the bus. But the fact is, he's been a big part of this offense for a long time, where when you can't, you know, you stall, you know, on the opponent's 40-yard line, no problem. We're going to take a swipe at this. That's him, you know, falling on a slump, hard times, whatever you want to call it. It's a big problem for us.
Well, let's stay right here, Ed. Let's stay right here. Tucker said all the right things on yesterday. But if he misses a kick on Monday, what kind of conversation are we having on Tuesday? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
My particular line of work requires, in my opinion, that I compartmentalize my feelings and I leave them to the side and I focus on the action of kicking the ball and not the consequence. So as difficult as that may be at times, you know, that is the challenge that I'm facing right now. That's my only option, is to just continue to work and focus on the action, focus on the process, and, you know, let the results take care of themselves after just putting in the work.
Justin Tucker's just proven that he's human.
Yeah.
That's it. He's human. Now, I don't want his mortality to get in the way of winning games, but that's what we're seeing from Justin Tucker right now. The guy is not, you know, the kicker that he once was.
No, definitely not. I mean, this guy was, you know, widely talked about as the best kicker in the history of the league, most accurate ever, with a big leg. I mean, he holds the record for the longest field goal ever.
Uh-huh.
What used to be automatic, and 50-yard field goal automatic, he wouldn't miss, and can't make them anymore. He's missing short field goals.
Yeah.
They're all going left.
Yeah, they're all going left, and I don't know why they all go left. I'm not ready to audition other kickers. I'm not ready to explore free agency because those guys aren't good.
You can't do
He's
it
better
now.
Than those guys.
Yeah.
So you
certainly
suck
can't
it up.
Do it midseason.
No, you can't. There's nobody out there. There's not a kicker out there midseason that's going to be better than Justin Tucker.
No, there isn't. I mean, like I said, who's hanging out, you know, sitting on a bench at a bus stop right now waiting to get picked up as a kicker? Like, they're not out there.
Who is it?
Yeah.
I want a kick. All right, come on in.
Right.
Take Justin Tucker's spot, Hall of Famer. Having said all of that, he misses a crucial kick on Monday. It's going to be worth talking about on Tuesday. I think if he misses any kick on Monday, even if the Ravens win, it's going to be talked about on Tuesday.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Please. I mean, worth talking about. It's going to be hard to get away from.
Yeah.
He misses a kick in this game, especially if it's a loss.
Phew.
You know, if you miss a kick in a win, it's going to be an issue. If you miss a kick in a loss, it's going to be people are going to be crazy.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Do you think the Ravens saw this coming in the summer?
I don't know, because people you talk to say he's had a steady decline over the last, you know, I don't know, two seasons, say? What?
It's tough, ain't it? Tough, ain't it?
Can you go talk to our boss after this and just tell him what a bitch these hours are?
Pull back the curtains a little bit. My photographer is having a hard time over here to my left. This is not easy.
This is
not easy, man. He's going to follow me to Upper Marlboro for a 6 o'clock tip-off? Oh, you better ride with us, buddy. You better you're not getting home at about 10. You can get up at 4 and get home at 10. Yeah. But, yeah, the steady decline, you had to have seen something in the summer, but was it worth you? Naturally, not worth you replacing Tucker. I'm not saying to that extent, but you had to see some kind of decline beginning in the summer.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, this isn't, it's like he forgot how to kick all of a sudden. You know, just,
no.
It's just, nah. And it's just odd because now it used to be you trot him out there. It's like, yeah, we're good. And if he missed something, he'd be like, whoa.
He would go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
A lot of field goal. I'm going to use this time.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get a beer. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh, I hope he makes it. Because the one he made on Sunday, what, 54 yards?
Mm-hmm.
That was no chip shot. And I honestly thought, well, the two he just missed, there's no way he's going to make this one. And then he makes it. Yeah.
Every as he said, you got to compartmentalize every kick. Every kick is different, is what he said.
Let's go to Sykesville. Get Ed. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much, man. What's up with you?
So yesterday I looked up some stats regarding Tucker. And so Sam Cook was his holder for the first longest tenure of his career, pretty much, till 2022. And Jordan Stout took over. In 2022, or 2021, I'm sorry, he had like 95% field goal percentage, the highest of his career. That's when he made the 66-yarder, was doing great. Sam Cook retired, or was let go, whatever they did, I don't remember. Brought in Stout, and his field goal percentage has dropped to 86%, and then this year's at 72%. I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but he's never had a stretch like this in his career, and all of a sudden his holder's different. So,
do you think if after all these years you got a special teams coach, a head coach is a special teams coach, you think if it was as simple as the holder, they will let it continue to go this way?
That's a great point. I just don't know.
If he went from 90 to 70 this year, and you look, it's the holder. Then, yeah, that's it. But you're dealing with – we can criticize John Harbaugh for a lot of things. He doesn't know offense. He doesn't know defense. Well, we know he knows special teams.
Right, yes.
So if it was as simple as the holder, and this guy's been here now for what, year number three? I think they would change the holder.
Yeah, and you think they wouldn't have picked up on this by now? Because it's funny, you mentioned that. One of the things that stood out to me of all the times I've gone out to Ravens camp preseason – one time I saw Harbaugh lose his patience, not a bad way. He ran onto the field, which I've never seen him do before. He runs onto the field during special teams. He starts grabbing people by the shoulders and placing, like, you stand here, you're here. Like, actually moving people around like chess pieces on the field. He knows special teams.
Yes.
That's his thing. And he couldn't take it anymore and started actually moving people. Like Peyton Manning used to do, like, just grab it. Nope, just move over here.
Yeah, this Justin Tucker talked about the holder yesterday.
Yeah, Nick and Jordan are doing a good job. They're doing a good job, and whenever I miss a kick, it's because I let one get away. I've said this before, and whenever we make kicks, it's because all of us are doing exactly what we need to do to make kicks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Justin Tucker's not young, folks. He's not young. He's been around since 2012. He was on the Super Bowl team. Is he the only one left from that team? He's 35 years old. And before you tell the fact, happy birthday, Justin Tucker. He turns 35 today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so before you tell me, well, 35 is not old, it's not for you and me, but for playing football, it's a long time to play football. Let's go to Parkville, get Chris. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think it was Mark Stover that spoke to his mechanic.
Matt Stover?
Yes, sir. And he said he was studying it, and he didn't see anything mechanically. So it's like you're saying, a lot of people think, okay, he just trots out there. And the switching of the holder and everything, I think Stover probably would have commented on that, knowing that he did it for so long. So I'm either thinking it's father time starting to kick in, and maybe the strength's not there, and he's trying to compensate a little, or it's just maybe a mental thing.
And you know how some pitchers, for the majority of their career or the beginning of their career, they're flamethrowers. They can just throw it by you, and for some reason later on in their career, they have to redefine themselves.
R.A. Dickey,
Frank Tanana.
Yeah, Frank Tanana. Yep.
You know. They had to redefine themselves. Yeah. They can still pitch, but not like they used to. Maybe this is that season where Justin Tucker has to redefine himself, figure out who today's Justin, the 35-year-old Justin Tucker is. Maybe he can't do it like he once did it. It's not that he can't do it at all. Maybe he has to redefine himself and figure out another way to get it done, because the way you're doing it right now is not making it, not good enough. Water's Edge, Mike. What's up, Mike?
How we doing, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about Tucker. And hear me out a second. I'm piggybacking off another call. I can't remember what time slot the guy called. But real quick, he suggested that Stout start handling the kickoff duties. And the guy was a collegiate kicker, so he knew what he was talking about. He said that would take some of the pressure off of Justin and not take as much of a toll on his body. And I hear that Stout used to kick. He was a place kicker. I don't know, college or high school or where, but just wanted to get your opinion on that. He's got the leg for it. That could help some. All right, let's have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Well, they were talking him actually taking over like kickoff duties because he has a big leg. I mean, he's correct in that. When he came, they talked about him actually doing exactly that, taking off kickoff duties. He was a kickoff specialist. He came from Penn State, played for Virginia Tech and Penn State. But out of Penn State, he was doing both. He was doing kickoffs and punts.
Yeah, the problem is, though, as a kicker, he was 16 of 23. That's less than 70%.
Yeah, that's why he was doing kickoffs.
At his last year at Penn State, he was 16 of 23. He missed a couple of extra points as well. So I think maybe he's just punting because that's what he does best. Not to speak to kickoffs, though.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, is Jim Harbaugh saving Justin Herbert's career? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Justin Herbert, 2 years ago, completed 68% of his passes. 4,739 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, passer rating of 93.2. The year before that, 2021, he completed 66% of his passes for over 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, a passer rating of 97.7. In fact, in his first 2 years in the National Football League, Justin Herbert threw for over 9,000 yards and hit almost 70 touchdown passes. That's 69 touchdown passes, 25 interceptions. His passer rating was around 98. I think Justin Tucker is who he is. I think more than thinking that Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, I'm thinking of who he, of Jim Harbaugh saving his career, I think maybe Justin Herbert is probably the perfect quarterback to inherit for an organization. I don't know if he saved them. He knows what he has. I mean, he's put up phenomenal numbers in the past, but, you know, last year he was on a bad football team. But still, in 13 games, he threw 20 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions. I don't know if he saved his career.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he saved his career. But I do know this. This is a very, very talented guy.
Uh-huh.
Very talented guy who has had horrible coaches for the last couple of years. I mean, I look at the Chargers. The Chargers, you know, how I've always picked them. They finally come in. They're going to challenge the Chiefs. They're going to win the West. They never do. Anthony Lynn sucked. Brandon Staley sucked. And it's like, Harbaugh's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
He's a good coach. And I think, you know, he can actually help Herbert become a better quarterback. You get a quarterback with those God-given talents, I think you can polish him up into something special.
Okay, he can polish him up, but he didn't save his career. The guy had 100.
Oh, no, no.
Maybe he helped his career, but he had 114 touchdown passes to only 42 interceptions when Harbaugh got there.
However, I don't care who you are, you can always be better. And that's what I mean. You
can help
always
him.
Better.
He can help him. But, you know,
look at Lamar. How much has he improved since he's come into the league? He's just gets better every year. And he won an MVP 19. He's better now than he was then.
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I just don't want it to seem like, oh, man, Justin Herbert's career was going to the tank until Jim Harbaugh came, because nothing could be further from the truth. Justin Herbert was a heck of a quarterback before Harbaugh got there on a bad team. You know, the questions of what he's going to do in the postseason, you can talk about that. maybe he saves that part about it. You know, maybe he makes him a quarterback that can, is able to go deeper in the postseason now that he's there. We still have to see that happen. Because I remember that debacle in Jacksonville when they were up, what are they up, 20-something points? And all of a sudden the Jaguars came roaring back to win that football game. We hope not. That, I'm sure he's hoping that doesn't happen.
Do you know the Chargers? They've been in since 1960. They've had one coach with winning percentage over 600.
Don Corio?
No. Ooh. No. Their first coach, Sid Gilman.
I forgot.
They won the championship in 1960. He was 7-14. Then he had a couple more years with them, a lot more years with them, 603. After that, people in 500s, 300s.
What did Marty Schottenheimer do?
Let me see. Schottenheimer was 588.
It was close.
Who else did you talk about? Who did you ask about?
Yeah, Coryell. Don Coryell.
Don Coryell. Let's see. Don Coryell. Where the hell is he? Where is he?
He was Chargers, wasn't he?
552.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
552. Yeah, Air Coryell.
Yeah.
That's when he was famous, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about back then when you saw about a quarterback throwing for 4,000 yards, it was unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Fouts did it like it was nothing until Dan Marino came in, what was it, 83, 84? We threw for 5,000 yards. Yeah. And it was 84.
Yeah. But they've had some coaches. I mean, there's Schottenheimer, Norv Turner, Bobby, you know, Bobby Ross, Don Coryell.
Did Norv even have a 500 record?
Who?
Norv.
Norv. Norv was 583.
He was five. Was that high?
Yeah.
Why did he leave? Bobby Ross took him to the Super Bowl versus the
49ers, yeah.
Natron Means, right? And he got curb stomped.
He was a close. Stan Humphrey. 588. Yeah.
Natron Means.
Anyone coach of the year.
Stan Humphrey and somebody else. Who was the receiver on that?
Natron. Yeah.
Can't remember. Yeah. Natron was out of North Carolina, I think. Yeah, they've had some good teams in San Diego before they went to L.A. Just never getting over the top. I still remember one of the best football games I saw as a kid was an overtime game. Chargers against the Dolphins in Miami in the playoffs. And Kellen Winslow played one of the greatest football games. He caught for well over 100 yards, couple of scores, and blocked the kick. And blocked the kick. Had to get carried off the field at the end. He was so exhausted. And I remember thinking to myself, it's January. Why is he sweating so hard? And I got explained to me that day how Miami was. From that point on, I wanted to go to Florida. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Is Justin Herbert, is he top five quarterback in the National Football League right now?
That's tough because you got so many good quarterbacks.
He's definitely top 10.
He's definitely top 10.
So that's not even a discussion.
Yeah,
is he top five?
So we got you got Mahomes, you got Lamar, you got Allen. Let's see.
Who else? I think he's right there with them.
Burrow's better.
Burrow's better?
Than Herbert, yeah.
Mm.
And then maybe Herbert. Yeah.
Mm. All right. I think he's top five 100%.
Yeah. I think he's right there. Yeah.
Did we forget anybody?
Probably. It was just a spur of the moment question.
Top five. I think he's definitely top five. I'm sure somebody will remind us.
I mean, because people are going to throw people out like Tua, who I don't believe deserves to be in that conversation. But I think, you know.
Who was throwing Tua in the conversation of the top five?
People look at his yards. It's like,
man.
I think you know.
No. When I watch Tua,
Jared Goff.
No, he's not top five.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
I take Justin Herbert with Jared Goff.
I don't know.
I will. But don't forget about his five interceptions a couple weeks ago.
I don't forget about it. People have those games. Lamar should have had four in the last game.
Out of the other quarterbacks that you just named, which one of them is capable of throwing five interceptions in the game?
Anybody's capable of that.
Okay, who's done it? Out of those other quarterbacks.
Jameis Winston has probably done it.
He ain't in our top five.
Whatever. You're being ridiculous.
I'm not being ridiculous. Are. Those other guys have never done that before.
Well, it had to happen. I mean, Kyler Murray will be in that conversation this year.
Top five?
He's having a great season. He's having a really good season.
Ed,
what?
You're putting Kyler Murray in a conversation of top five?
No, not every year. You got to talk about this season. This isn't a historical conversation. This is this season, the NFL.
I'm talking about in general, like the top five quarterbacks that I take if I'm drafted in the top five. These are the guys. If I'm number five and Justin Herbert's there, he's gone. If I'm number four, he's probably gone.
The problem is you look at yards, it's misleading. Geno Smith's number four. Brock Purdy's number six. No.
No, I'm not looking at yards.
Yeah.
I saw I saw this kid throw accurately across his body about 60 yards downfield.
Passer rating. Lamar's number one.
Of course.
Jared Goff number two. Joe Burrow number three. Wow. Derek Carr's number four.
There you go.
Baker Mayfield five. Justin Herbert six.
There's your argument.
Yeah. Well, I think the other. And Mayfield's having a great season. Justin Herbert six. Kyler Murray's nine. So, yeah.
Semifinalists of the 2025 Hall of Fame class. We'll talk about that at 8:30, but on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah. I'm going to give it either to Vladimir Putin or the Russian media, because this is a good one. It's sad, but this is like, come on now. Pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.